I must confess that I look forward to World Interfaith Harmony Week every year. It is in so many ways an affirmation of who we are. Its struggle to be recognized is, in many ways, our struggle. And the truth of it is, we began at nearly the same time. World Interfaith Harmony Week was established by the United Nations in 2010. The idea for World Interfaith Harmony Week was brought to the UN by the King of Jordan, who has certainly had plenty of first-hand and up-close experience of what a lack of interfaith harmony can mean to all of us. As an old choir director, I'm quite drawn to the symbolism of interfaith harmony. In choir as in life, harmony requires a balance of voices. Harmony disappears if, as example, the altos spend their time shouting at the tenors that only altos sing the right notes. But all kidding aside, what's the difficulty here? Why hasn't World Interfaith Harmony Week caught on yet? You would think that at least for a week, we would want to embrace the idea of actually getting along with each other. What a concept. It won't surprise you that I believe there are many reasons, but I think in so many ways it boils down to this. Fear. Fear in so many different destructive disguises. Just a couple of days ago, I came upon an article on the BBC website. It was about how so many Jews are so very afraid of intermarriage. And the rumor, that the son of the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, is getting serious about a woman who isn't Jewish. The problem? Well, of course, there are the fundamentalists. Thou shalt not marry a non-Jew. But for the rest, what it appears to be is fear. An abiding fear of extinction. How can we keep Judaism alive if our children intermarry? It's a real fear. I neither scorn nor make light of it. And I believe this fear of intermarriage feeds a fear of interfaith harmony as well. If we speak to each other, we might just grow to respect one another and even like each other. And then all bets are off. This, I believe, is not just a fear held by Jews, but by any minority. On the one hand, by many, at least, the desire to assimilate. On the other hand, a fear of extinction, if we do. Another fear is one we've spoken of here before. It's a fear that stems from the notion that there is only one right answer to the sacred. There is only one right belief. And here's the catch-22 that can destroy our attempts at interfaith harmony. If there is only one right belief about the sacred, about God, and your beliefs are different from mine, I don't dare listen to you. Because if what you believe makes sense, and there is only one right belief, my beliefs become dust. This is a time-tested recipe for building walls between us, both real and imagined. Walls that make interfaith harmony so very, very difficult. I believe one of the great challenges of this 21st century, a huge challenge, is how do we respect, honor, and retain our diversity, and at the same time embrace our common humanity? We're not going to solve this challenge this morning. If it were that easy, it would already be solved. But as we embrace, lift up, and celebrate the goal of world interfaith harmony, it is, I think, worth our time to ponder it a bit. This month, as you may know, is Black History Month in the United States. Black History Month is one answer to the question of how do we respect, honor, and remember African American history, particularly in the United States, the great achievements of people of color, as well as the great suffering wrought by slavery, Jim Crow, and with all deference to the Supreme Court's decisions, the bigotry that still exists today. How do we do all this? And yet, in every sense of the word, truly integrate our Black brothers and sisters as equal partners in the American dream. And our Hispanic, Asian Pacific, and First Peoples brothers and sisters as well. We would be one. Yet we are not one. And to be honest, some of us fear becoming one. So how do we bring together people of so many differing faiths to accomplish world interfaith harmony and yet respect and remember the multitude of amazingly beautiful and profound strands that make up our diverse spiritual heritage? How indeed? My friends, this is a reminder of one of the so very important reasons that we come to Living Interfaith. We are an example, admittedly, a small example, but a crucial example, nevertheless, that interfaith harmony need not mean faith extinction. This is huge. This can change the world. One of the things we need to shout from the rooftops, gently shout from the rooftops, is that world interfaith harmony does not necessitate a world spiritual smoothie. We are not a melting pot. We celebrate, honor, and respect each other's spiritual paths without abandoning our own. Our faith lies not only in our own path, but in the righteousness of other paths as well. Earlier in this service, we heard readings from our differing spiritual paths. Each reading was shared by someone who walks that path. Shared, not proclaimed. None was offered as an attempt to convert or convince. This, I believe, so very much, is a crucial part of what interfaith harmony can be. But of course, it's more complex than that. So many of us in the United States and around the world know so little about each other's spiritual traditions as well as our beliefs. Folks, this is the absolute truth, as jarring as I hope it may sound. I remember as a young man, and yes, I do remember that far back. I remember being asked by good friends to come to speak at their Sunday school class. One of the kids there asked me, out of curiosity, not malevolence, these kids had never met a Jew before. And I was asked, do Jews have human sacrifice? Whoa. Several years later, I was speaking at another friend's high school class. This friend was team teaching a class in comparative religion. The rabbi they had asked to come had refused to return. So I was asked to fill in to speak about Judaism and to answer questions. After I'd spoken, I was asked, and again, out of bafflement and ignorance, not malevolence or hate, I was asked, you seem like such a nice guy. Why did you kill Jesus? Today, I think, there is at least marginally less ignorance about Jews in the United States. But there is a woeful ignorance about Muslims. And if we're not careful, we end up asking the same ignorant questions based on the same unfounded assumptions. And it permeates our press. Again, I don't believe it's malevolence, at least not from most, but it is ignorance. We hear of this Muslim terrorist or that Muslim terrorist. It is hard not to come up with the conclusion that Islam promotes terrorism. But terrorism, as we here know, is a perversion of Islam. Every bit as much as terrorism is a perversion of Christianity or Buddhism or Judaism or humanism. I went on the website of the Southern Poverty Law Center just to check out current hate groups in the state of Washington. And it might interest you to know that there are 16 such groups that the Law Center has identified. None of them are Muslim. 12 of the 16 claim Christian roots. But no one, to my knowledge, is screaming about the rise of Christian hate in Washington. Nor should they. I believe this silence comes from our knowing that the claim would be absurd that Christianity is sanctioning hate or terrorism. It sanctions neither. So we don't call, for example, Timothy McVeigh a Christian terrorist, though he had ties to the Christian identity movement. No one thought it relevant to mention Timothy McVeigh's pretense towards acting in the name of Jesus when he blew up the Murrah building. And to be clear, they would have been nuts had they called him a Christian terrorist. But Islam? With Islam, we are still at the stage of asking, do Muslims have human sacrifice? So how can we build a more loving world? How can we come together and truly enjoy the music that can be made with interfaith harmony? For us as Americans, as humans, to embrace world interfaith harmony, we're going to have to learn more about each other. I deeply believe that we can respect and enjoy our differences rather than ignore them or let them divide us. Indeed, that's what we do here. What fills me so much with hope and with joy is that Living Interfaith doesn't simply celebrate World Interfaith Harmony Week. We celebrate World Interfaith Harmony as a spiritual practice. When we come together, every time we come together, share a service together, share coffee and conversation together, we celebrate World Interfaith Harmony. It can be done. We can respect and listen to each other without abandoning our own spiritual paths. We can respect differing paths. We can embrace our common humanity. We can live together, respecting and loving each other, as every one of our spiritual paths has been trying to nudge us to, occasionally nags us about. Love, compassion, community. We can do this. When we celebrate World Interfaith Harmony Week, we are hoping for a World Interfaith Harmony year-round. Amen.